So at this time of fiscal ruin, it's important to remember that your governments have your best interests at heart. Oh wait, they're sending trillions in climate reparations to nuclear-armed Pakistan and Kenya. Really love all these tax rises. Who's pushing this immiserating and unpopular policy? Turns out it's a combination of international bodies, foundations, and astroturfed millennial influencers and Gen Z TikTokers. So we're being ruled by...
horrible coalition.
Yeah, the elite class of thoughts. Here's how the UN are using teenagers to make you poor for the planet. Let's start with the Gates Foundation, shall we? On COP27's opening day last week, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation announced $1.4 billion in support for agricultural projects across Africa and South Asia. They said it will help small farmers to adapt to climate change. Their commitment was $434 million larger than initially planned through 2025, funding projects like research to increase the productivity of seeds and livestock farming, and a partnership that would include... providing weather information to farmers in East Africa by text message. The Gates Foundation pledged another $7 billion over 4 years to go to its work on agriculture, health and gender equality in Africa while Bill Gates was visiting Kenya. Gates warned that on Thursday, an event with students at the University of Nairobi, that aid or investment from governance to climate finance, adaptation and mitigation was limited and may be reduced because of the war in Ukraine and the cost of energy. Now, that's a lie. Because we're still committing, as I covered in a prior segment on Jeremy Hunt's budget, which you can watch on the YouTube channel, we're still committing to our COP26 targets of reducing 60% emissions by 2030. And the cost for that is going to be astronomical. And we're increasing Ukraine spending, and we're increasing public service spending, and we're increasing tax to go along with all that. So we're just impoverishing our countries for the sake of these ideological causes.
Well, the people are just being bled dry for the vanity projects of the elite, aren't they?
Yes. And I suppose we can't say anything about how Bill Gates has stated in the past that people are the main drivers of producing carbon. So he really, really, really wants to reduce that carbon. A project launched by IKEA Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, Bezos Earth Fund, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as well, at last year's COP, the Global Energy Alliance for People and Planet also signed an agreement with the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank to finance $1 billion in energy transition projects. Now, the reason I mention IKEA...
No. I was just going to say, with all of those groups, it sounds like they met in like underneath a volcano in some sort of secret island.
It's in the castle in The Simpsons, the Republican Party. The vampires and the crazy cowboys. So, the reason I mention IKEA is because IKEA doesn't have the best... green record or human rights record, but they're happy to lecture to us. So, rubber stamping repression, this report by EarthSight, is very detailed. Go through and read it in your own time. Turns out that IKEA are using the Belarusian prison service to make their furniture and log for them. It's like in the Gulag Archipelago when Solzhenitsyn called logging dry execution. He said, "I would walk beneath the birch and pine with a shudder of revulsion." It's because communism, materialism, state-mandated work strips your soul of any actual sentiment towards appreciating nature because you just see it as a resource to be exploited for the state. That's what's happened here. So if you're trying to cultivate an environmental instinct, actual conservationism, rather than just being misanthropic and blaming humans for all damage to the planet, then you're going the wrong way about it. So I'm just going to read a little bit from this. The prison service in Belarus is, by some measures, the country's largest timber company. Its wood processing facilities employ 800 people. The prisons consume around 500,000 trees every year and churn out more than 800 different products, including office furniture, windows, doors, and souvenir items like chessboards. Swedish furniture giant IKEA is the biggest consumer of wood on the planet, churning through one tree every second. To feed its growing needs, IKEA has become heavily dependent on forests in Russia and the former Eastern Bloc. Its supplies from these countries are highly suspect. In 2020, we exposed how IKEA was illegally cutting beech trees from the Carpathian forests of Ukraine to make cheap foldable chairs. The following year, we found wood linked to the biggest illegal logging case in recent Russian history used to make IKEA children's furniture. In both cases, the wood concerned had been greenwashed by the FSC. Belarus is an even larger supplier to IKEA than Russia or Ukraine. By 2021, it had grown to become its second largest source of wood after Poland. That year, our research shows, it consumed 1.7 million cubic meters of Belarusian logs, almost double the volume of 3 years earlier. This was the remains of more than 2.4 million trees. And it's using men, women, and children's prisons to do this.
Children's prisons?
Oh, yeah. A woman's prison, IK4, in the city of Gomel, specializes in sewing and production of garments and other textile goods, and is the leading producer of uniforms. Our sources told us the prison has a long-standing relationship with Mogotex, a state-owned firm which is the largest manufacturer of textile products in the country. Prisoners there help turn raw cloth into covers for upholstered furniture made by IKEA. They also said a second smaller prison in Bobruisk, which houses juveniles, was also connected to IKEA supply chains. So when you buy an IKEA chair, the unfortunate reality is that the comfy seat you sit on, which does wear out rather quickly, has been sewn by a Belarusian child. But they're going to lecture you.
Explains why it's done so poorly.
They're going to lecture you on how to save the planet from climate change. Please do one.
Child labour, that's IKEA's solution.
Yeah. So who else is pushing for this? So we go back to Bill Gates, of course. Did you know that Bill Gates was behind the supposed Inflation Reduction Act that raised inflation?
I'm not surprised.
So Bloomberg actually have an article, a puff piece, gloating about this. Billionaire philanthropist and clean energy investor Bill Gates got on the phone with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. This was when Joe Manchin was saying he was not going to vote it through and was going to be the deciding vote to vote down Biden's agenda, whose job it was to hold the Democrats' no vote to spare majority together. One of the world's richest men felt he had to give one of the nation's most powerful lawmakers a little pep talk. Schumer said to me on one call that he'd shown infinite patience, Gates recounted in an interview last week, describing for the first time his personal effort to keep climate legislation alive. That's the truth of it, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't to reduce inflation. In fact, they printed money in order to afford everything. It was to push forward with climate goals. And did you know at the G20 last week as well, we covered this on the segment for the website, that the US has secretly committed to achieving net zero by 2030 now. They've brought it ahead by 20 years with zero legislation. Aren't the American people glad that the most popular president in American history is doing the will of the people? Definitely. You're right, Gates told Schumer. All you need to do is show infinite plus one patience. So it sounds a bit like a mafia extortion. You know, oh, nice country you had there. Shame if climate legislation came along and tips it over. You better do what I want, eh? Otherwise, I won't be funding your public schools and Washington State. I mean, if you go through the Gates Foundation website, they've got loads of funding grants to American interests. And it's pretty clear where the money is behind a lot of these ideological climate and woke causes coming from. Gates started wooing Joe Manchin and other senators who might prove pivotal for clean energy policy in 2019 over a meal in Washington, D.C. So he's been doing this for a long time. My dialogue with Joe Manchin has been going on for quite a while. Almost everyone on the Energy Committee, of which Manchin was one of the most senior Democrats, came over and spent a few hours with me over dinner. Then in January 2022, Gates tried to renew this relationship by saying he had lunch with the senator and his wife, Gail Connolly Manchin, in a Washington, D.C. restaurant. And then miraculously, Manchin votes it through. It's almost like there are people who are unelected leveraging your politicians with their money and influence to make sure that they do what they want rather than what you want.
It'd be terrible if that were true.
Yes. There's also a bunch of children pushing for this. So I like to call these people the World Economic Forum's foot soldiers. What the elite are doing is they're pushing these people forward in the streets, on social media, to manufacture consent for the policies that they already want to pass. Here's this child. Her name is Likipria Kangyujam. Difficult Asian name to pronounce. She's following Zach Goldsmith around at COP27. Zach Goldsmith was a former London mayoral candidate. He's an MP that's really big on the environmental stuff, and he's part of the Goldsmith family. And she's telling him to release every single Just Stop Oil activist that we've currently got in prison from prison. The framing is, today I confronted UK Minister of Energy, Climate and Environment, Zach Goldsmith, at COP27. I asked him, when will you release those jailed climate activists your government arrested for protesting to stop new oil and gas license across the UK? He said, no idea, and ran away. He doesn't know who you are. You're asking for the release of prisoners who have actually broken the law, and they've broken fairly set laws as well. Mm. And you're a petulant child just saying, free my ideological comrades. Why should he listen to you?
Also, the public doesn't support freeing them. Like,
no.
The public are roundly against Just Stop Oil.
I wonder why. Let's look at the exact people she's talking about. More than 50 protesters who are demanding urgent action to address the climate crisis, framing by The Guardian, by the way, were sent to jail on one day, on the week of writing, 2 months ago, after refusing to comply with court proceedings. The campaigners were appearing before judges at two separate hearings in London and Birmingham, who had broken an injunction to take part in a blockade of the Kingsbury oil terminal in Warwickshire on Wednesday. I think this might be one of the ones that we covered quite a while ago in our Just Stop Milk segment, which was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
But when they appeared at the Queen Elizabeth Court in Birmingham and the Royal Courts of Justice in London on Thursday, they refused to comply, standing on chairs, turning their backs to the judge, and reading out prepared statements about the scale of the crisis. So they didn't even want to defend themselves.
They're like toddlers, aren't they? They really are.
Well, it's like when a terrorist, or unfortunately a grooming gang perpetrator, commits a heinous crime, and in the docket they just begin shouting Allahu Akbar. It's a religious statement, which is not representative, this one, of all people who want to conserve the environment, but who have questions about whether or not the world is going to end in 10 years, because we've been told that since the 1960s for various causes. I would consider myself a conservationist. You very much enjoy your time in the outdoors, in the wilderness,
I do
camping.
Indeed, yeah.
We'd like to preserve that beautiful part of nature, the deer who are feasting on the fields as I go on my commute to work. But
to
that's
be fair,
not what they want to do.
In Britain, because we have no natural predators, the deer actually need to be culled, but I don't want to preserve them. But
sure,
still.
I'm happy to re-release some of their natural predators into the wild, and not the wolves, that's a really bad idea, but I don't know, some of the dying kestrels.
Surround London with loads of bears, that'll do the job. I'm joking.
It might get people to stop littering everywhere, so they want to encourage them to stroll up and down the street and risk being eaten. One of the defendants took off his shirt to reveal the words "Sham Justice Kills Kids" written on his body, while another held up a copy of David Wallace Wells' book, The Uninhabitable Earth, and recommended it to the court. Now, reminder, when he's saying "Sham Justice Kills Kids," we'll get onto in a moment how these people cannot even hope to claim that, because their protests have actually claimed lives now. If we move on to the next one, reminder, they're paid to do this. It's not like they're doing it for some self-sacrificing, martyrdomistic cause. No. They're bankrolled to do this by oil billionaires. Just Up Oil states it's partially funded by the Climate Emergency Fund, founded by Eileen Getty, granddaughter of oil tycoon John Paul Getty. The Getty family collectively has an estimated wealth of around $3.9 billion. Getty personally puts a foundational sum of $900,000 into the Climate Emergency Fund. Tracking their funds is tricky, and this is all done by Alexander Adams, who has been on our show before. Accounts show the Climate Emergency Fund's money comes through shell companies. Its top donors are Marin Community Foundation, Earth Sense Foundation, and Schwab Charitable Fund. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's not the World Economic Forum. It's Charles Schwab, the billionaire. It's his descendants who are funneling money to this lot. And also, Goldman Sachs gave Schwab Charitable $140 million. The very same organization which Rishi Sunak worked at prior to being an MP and PM, of course. I wonder why he's doubling down on climate commitments. You can find a lot of this stuff also in our reading list in the website. We're not going to go through the links here, but you can read them in your own time. Just for more from Alexander Adams, if you'd like to subscribe to our website for £5 a month, you can see him chatting to Carl about his book Artivism, which is how similar activism is being waged inside our art galleries and museums. So similarly to how the environmental cause has been seized upon by ideologues to ruin something of beauty, so has this. I know Callum covered something on the podcast yesterday as well, so you can check out our segments on this sort of topics on our YouTube channel.
Not yesterday, as in this is going to go out on Saturday.
Yes, this...
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday. There we go. At time of recording. My bad. Also, they've killed someone, you know, Just Up Oil. Yeah, they killed someone. I know Insulate Britain, part of their coalition, had paralysed a mother before, but now Lisa Weber from Swanley, up the road from me in Kent, was hit by a speeding BMW and thrown onto an oncoming traffic when she had stopped on a hard shoulder of busy M20 motorway to help another driver who had lost control in heavy rain. So she went to try and help someone, and a car was out of control and hit her head on. Builder Mark Heap, 55, also came to a halt to release the female driver of the stricken grey Infiniti after the protest began on Monday, and he said that they have blood on their hands, obviously. Both women and Mr. Heap were run down by the BMW that attempted to avoid the traffic jam blockade caused on the M25 river crossing because Just Up Oil were occupying the motorway and had caused a massive pileup. You guys have got blood on your hands.
It's not like we didn't say this was going to happen.
It was an obvious and easy prediction. Now, going back to Zach Goldsmith. Zach Goldsmith is part of the Goldsmith family. He has a brother, Ben Goldsmith, who I've actually spoken to before, funnily enough. He runs NEP Rewilding Centre in Kent, and he's talking about trying to have sites for nature to regenerate, which are funded by charities, so you don't have to go onto every bit of farmer's land and force them to grow trees and give up livestock crops. And that's quite a good idea. I quite like that. I quite like having sites of natural beauty. The problem is he's also a foaming at the mouth ideologue who runs Conservative Environment Network. So he's embedded within the Conservative Party. And he says, I'm with Extinction Rebellion. And on more than one occasion, he's said this. So if you just scroll down, John, to his backtracking tweets, because the other tweets were deleted. But I have included them, funnily enough, as a screenshot in my deep think called Englishmen Against Exclusivity for Equality, which you can find on the website. Ben Goldsmith, board member at the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, criticized Labour for its injunctions to stop stop Extinction Rebellion's disruption, saying it was not a good look. So Labour are not left-wing enough on the climate for Ben Goldsmith, senior advisor to the Tory party. He then added, the protesters are right to be doing whatever it takes to wake people up. The fossil fuel industry is grubby and dangerous. We need to unhook ourselves from the dependence ASAP. I'm with Extinction Rebellion. Reminder as well, their sister Gemma Goldsmith set up the socialist magazine The New Statesman and then married the Prime Minister of Pakistan. These people are not on our side. Not in the slightest. Speaking of millionaire communists, let's go to you, your favourite, shall we?
Your future wife,
Sophia Kiani. Someone who is clearly very organically involved in the climate movement. She's the youngest member of the United Nations Secretary General's Youth Advisory Council Group on Climate Change. Right. So she's at COP27 speaking truth to power because she's clearly an outsider and has absolutely no ties to the establishment who already want these policies and are just using her as a proxy to push them forward as if there's popular consent among the next generation who will inherit the earth. She's also spoken to Fortune. If we go here, John, our wonderful producer, pointed out to me that this tweet was deleted and we had to get the archive up, which is quite interesting. But she went to lecture the Fortune 500 on the importance of climate justice activism and the power of our generation. And she's only 20.
Yeah, imagine lecturing the Fortune 500 at 20 years old when you about haven't anything.
Completed your degree at Stanford. Of course it's Stanford. So what expertise does she have? Nothing. And it's just clear that it's to reverberate their own ideological desires back at them and manufacture consent for making us all poor and putting us on rational renewables, which don't work yet. Now, let's look at her background, shall we? Why I joined Extinction Rebellion for a climate hunger strike at Nancy Pelosi's office. Teen Vogue. Bear in mind, again, the UN appointed her. So she is part of what I would define as a climate terrorist group, considering they have claimed lives and are bankrolled to damage property in order to institute revolutionary system change, which is to appoint a people's assembly above the government to veto any policies. So that's a dictatorship of the proletariat on climate grounds. Mm-hmm. She is part of the effort. She's being appointed by the UN, which our countries currently fund, which sets legislation that we don't really get to vote on, which has set the 2030 agenda that all of our countries are working towards, and they've hired literal climate communists.
It is horrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. So she joined Greta Thunberg's three-day weekend school strike group, Fridays for Future, just to get an extra day off school. Again, spending less time in education. We should listen to you. Why? She did a hunger strike in former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office. It's so good to say former House Speaker. To pressure her to support AOC's original Green New Deal. Remember the one that said we can't have farting cows or planes anymore? The original version. Not even the toned down version was still too expensive and bullshit, which is basically the Inflation Reduction Act. But the original version, which said that we need to build trains to Hawaii. Why aren't you supporting that? Every Democrat ran from that like it was leprosy. She's a spokesperson for Extinction Rebellion. And in July 2020, she was named by the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres to his new Youth Advisory Group on Climate Change, a group of seven young climate leaders to advise him on actions for the climate crisis. The SNP are doing this as well. They're setting up like 16-year-old climate committees to tell the government what policy to pass.
It's like the Hitler Youth or the young communists.
Well, I'm just concerned that obviously she's 20, so it's completely different. But I'm very concerned that if you're starting to appoint children in positions of governance where you can say they can consent to vote, I do not like the normalization of them being consenting to other things. Let's not go there. Now, of course, she's entirely organic. Maybe she just did really well in this protest movement and the UN really felt the need to appoint her. If we can go on to the next one, please, John. Oh, she's handpicked by the Gates Foundation.
Yeah.
Of course she is.
Well, she's friends with Bill Gates' daughter.
Yes. If we can go on to the images, please, John, that'd be great. These are just Phoebe Gates' Instagram posts and Sophia's account. She's constantly commenting on them saying favourite duo. Right. So she's just handpicked by the elite who already wants to collapse our economies in order to institute totalitarian control with the climate as an excuse. And she's there to manufacture the consent for Bill Gates' agenda. But everything Bill Gates is doing is definitely a conspiracy theory. He's got no influence over governments at all, even though he's giving interviews saying he does. Mm-hmm. If we go on to the final one, I just thought this is the best way to handle this sort of thing.
It's not my proudest moment. So if you scroll down,
I thought it was hilarious personally.
So if you scroll down to the image, I think this is my inspiration here because she's going to this important UN climate summit dressed like she's going on a night out.
Yeah, she does look like your average club attendant in Newcastle. I'm pretty sure she tried to pull Chris Williamson at some point. Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact she stood next to Hans Moltmann's distant cousin as well doesn't doesn't help things.
So if you can just scroll
I've seen up, this before.
For our audio listeners, she tweeted, I'm 20 years old and I'm the youngest person ever to be an official United Nations advisor. Gen Z finally at the decision-making table and our wonderful Josh firm decided to bring dignity and class to the proceedings by saying, I didn't realise COP27 Climate Summit was affiliated with OnlyFans. So I'm really glad that we're being governed over by women who... I'm sure the Congolese children mining the minerals for their phones are really proud as well, that we're being governed over by women who can basically sell renewably powered pictures of their bumhole online. Fantastic. I look forward to our new climate policy vanguard, and I'm delighted that I'm being taxed to death to pay for her pet projects.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the premium videos we do on The Politics of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is the newest one. And if you want to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.